My heart is full today. Thank you for leading us in worship. And what part of it, what fills my heart is to see so many young people up front. Older people, it's all right, but I really like the young people up there. So it's a real blessing to see you. And it's a wonderful thing to have each of you here today so that we can worship our God together. Just a few things before we start. Christmas hampers. The deadline is coming up. It's the end of November. We have raised $5,400, and I think that's great. I think it's wonderful. We have 33 baskets that have come in from the schools in St. Albert, and so we would like to fill them. So we're going to need a little bit more of a push in order to make that happen. So if you can, I would thank you for doing that. Next Friday is Kabbalat Shabbat, and that's Jewish for I don't know what. But we invite you for Friday night at 7 o'clock, and it will be a great time of blessing. The whole family is invited to come. It's not a separate event. It's a whole family coming together. And we will bring in the Sabbath together, and we will. We have someone coming up that will be able to help us understand some of the Jewish concepts about it all. And then Saturday night, next Saturday night at 6, it's the Rumble at Red Willow. It's a couples event, and we would like you to register out of the table in the back there. We're in the lobby because we need to know how much food to prepare. So if you would like to come, and everybody's invited to come to this, it's a he versus she. And so I told them, I said, I will not participate because my wife always wins. My ego can't take it. So, but everyone, it's going to be a fun night. And so you're invited to come for Saturday night. So Friday night is Kabbalat Shabbat, and then he versus she, the Rumble at Red Willow at 6 o'clock on Saturday evening. So you're all invited to come. So welcome to each of you. And if you're visiting with us, we especially want to give a warm welcome to you, to those at the Traditions Church on the other side of the building here, and to those worshiping at home today. We would like to welcome you to Red Willow Community Church. And I want to make each one of you this promise today. And it's this. For some of you, you will be able to look back at this day and say, this was a day that something eventful happened in my life. Because I want to promise you something. If you will come together with what I'm talking about today and you act on it, your life will not be the same. You know, when I first got out of school, I worked as a pastor in a large church. There were 1,000 members in. I was a youth pastor there. And I also was a volunteer chaplain at the local hospital. So that means I would be on call every couple of weeks, and I would get calls in order to come in and if people are dealing with some very significant issues. One night when I was in call, it was 2 o'clock in the morning, and I received a call. And the nurse said, we need you to come right away. The family has requested you. They say they go to your church. And so they want you to come. And so I asked the name, and they told me the name. And honestly, the reality is, even though we had 1,000 members in our church, back then, it was many years ago, I had a really good memory. And I could remember all the names, and I didn't recognize their name. But I went. I would have gone regardless, but I went. And sure enough, the mom was experiencing, as the doctor said, it's end of life. And so I was there in order to comfort them and walk them through this end of life scenario. So we didn't talk too much about the fact that I didn't know them, but we did talk and we did pray together. And the amazing thing is that this mom was healed. Even though the doctors pronounced it was end of life, she made a remarkable recovery the very next day. she lived. And so I was able to visit with them after that. And that is when I talked to them about, when I got the call, the nurse said that you're members of the church. And I have to be honest with you, I don't remember you. So tell me a bit about yourself. And they said, oh yeah, don't worry about that. We come at Christmas and Easter. But they counted themselves as members of the church. In other words, I go to your church. I go to church on Christmas and Easter. And you know what? Here's the thing that saddened me. At this time of need, I'm glad that I was able to be there. But the truth is, it could have been so much better for them if they had a different experience in church. Because so many of us say, I'm going to church, as if it's a destination, as if it's a place that we go. We could easily say, I'm going to the show. I'm going to the game. I'm going to church. And we often treat it the very same way. You know, you'll go to a football game or a hockey game, or you go to a show, and you don't expect much from the other people around you. It's just you go to a destination. The really sad thing to me is that today so many people say, I go to church. The same as I go to a game or I go to the show. God's highest calling for us is not to go to church. And so as the title says today, I want you to stop going to church. Now that doesn't mean you don't come next week. That's not what it means. Okay? But I'm going to talk about different levels of going to church. Because God's highest calling is not going to a building. God's highest calling is not going to a destination. But his highest calling for us is to be conformed into the image of Christ. Not to go to church, but to be planted in a church. To be planted in the house of God. In Psalm 92, verse 12, it says, the righteous will flourish like a palm tree. They will grow like a cedar of Lebanon. What does the word flourish mean? I mean, that's not the type of language we use today. So if I was to ask you, how's it going? You wouldn't say, I'm flourishing. Or I'm really flourishing. Like, that wouldn't even come into your mind. And so some of it is, what does the word flourish mean? And one of the things that it meant was one of the songs that we sang today. It's about thriving. It's about growing. It's about being planted. It's about prospering. It's about being a blessing. This is what flourishing means. My grandparents, they had a cedar chest. And I blame them for so many problems. Because it smelt so good. I would go and kneel down by the cedar chest, open it up. It smelled so good. And you know what the Bible says is we're going to be like cedars, cedar tree, and palm trees. Cedar smells good, and it is very, very long lasting. In other words, we're going to flourish like a cedar. We're going to be durable. We're going to be strong. We're going to be lasting, and we're going to be like a palm. You know, in the Corinthian games, the Corinthian Olympic games, that the winner of the gold medal didn't get a gold medal. They got a palm branch. And it's interesting that when Jesus was making his, what they call the triumphal entry into Jerusalem, they waved palm branches at him. Because the palm was symbolic of triumph and of victory. And it says, the righteous will flourish like the palm tree and the cedar. Both of them are evergreens. I mean, they don't lose their green. There's life. There's strength. There's victory. There's fruit. So how you doing? I'm flourishing. I'm blessed. I'm prosperous. and I am growing. Psalm 92, planted in the house of the Lord, they will flourish in the courts of our God. Now notice what Scripture doesn't say. It doesn't say if you go to church, you're going to flourish. It doesn't say that. It says if you are planted in the house of the Lord, they will flourish in the courts of our God. And being planted is far different than going to church. I love the imagery. They will still bear fruit in old age. They will stay fresh and green, proclaiming the Lord is upright. He is my rock, and there is no wickedness in him. Those who are planted in the house of the Lord, those are the ones that are flourishing. Those are the ones that are prospering. Those are the ones that are growing. Those are the ones that are connected. Those are the ones that are emotionally engaged. Those are the ones that are flourishing. But I think many of us would say, are we really spiritually flourishing? Are we thriving emotionally? Some would say, emotionally, I'm barren. Instead of saying I'm connected relationally, some would say, I'm relationally wanting. Instead of saying I'm prospering financially, I have room to give in order to be a blessing, some would say, financially, I'm hurting and I'm restrained. Instead of saying I'm fulfilled spiritually and making a difference, full of joy, so many people will say, I'm still searching. I'm looking for the next hit, the next buzz, in order to be fulfilled. I go to church, but I'm not flourishing. Those that are planted in the house of God are the ones that flourish. Let me try and explain to you this way. Your life is like a seed. What does that mean? There is tremendous potential. In this room, I see such tremendous potential because I see all the seeds that are around here. Seeds that could thrive, could multiply, could grow, could produce fruit, could be a blessing to others. But a seed that is not planted will lie dormant, unproductive, unfruitful, and dissatisfied. Your seed can only grow if it is planted. Who flourishes? The ones who are planted in the house of God. You know, Jesus told an amazing story in Matthew chapter 13 about a sower, and said a sower went out to seed to spread the seed. And he says they fell on different types of ground. The first was it fell on hard ground. And it wasn't able to take root. And what happened was the birds came along and they took the seed away. They never ever reached their potential. The next fell on shallow soil. And so it spurted up, but its roots didn't go deep and was not long lasting. The sun would beam down and they would wither up. And if that didn't get them, other plants or noxious weeds would grow beside them, and they would choke them out. And he explains that that's like the people that have great potential, but they never go anywhere. They start to grow, but fade away. Some start to thrive spiritually, but the worry, the concerns, the bills, and the struggles of life choke us out. And Jesus said, the third group fell on good soil. And said, those that fell on good soil, they multiplied 30, 60, or 100 times. That one seed becomes a massive blessing because it was planted in good soil. So who is it that flourishes in a spiritual sense? Those that are planted in the house of the Lord. Going to church isn't the same as being planted. I want to make that very clear. There is a very major difference. For instance, some of you this week may have said to your kids, do you want to go to church this week? Yes. No. What do you think? I mean, it's been a busy week, and I'm tired, and you had lots of schoolwork and everything else, and you can go outside and play and everything else if you don't go to church. So what? Should we go to church? I want to tell you, in my house, that was never an option. Because I had to preach. You know. You sort of expect me to show up, you know. But it wasn't an option. It wasn't, you know, it's like saying, so kids, what do you think? Do you want to eat today? Yes. No. Oh, okay. All right. How about, hey, you want to breathe some oxygen? How about with Marion, my wife? Is she up there? Yes, she is. Okay. You want to have a kiss today? Yes? No? It's not an option in our house. It's not an option, okay? In fact, I don't even ask permission, okay? It's like, you know, she'll be there, and I'll just go up to her and go, She has never once refused me. Do you know why? It's not an option. It's not an option. Okay? So here it is, as far as going to church, it isn't the same as being planted. Going to church is not about a destination. Going to church is about, or being planted in the church, is about our identity. Even the Greek word translated as church has great meaning. It comes from ecclesia, meaning gathering or assembling. In other words, you can listen to a preacher's podcast, okay? And if you can't make it, and if you're shut in, you're sick, that's great. That's great. I encourage it all the more. But there is something different, or there should be something different about staying at home, watching a preacher's podcast, and coming to church and being planted. There should be something different. You know, I've talked to a lot of people that have left church. And you know what the number one reason is? The number one reason is doesn't have anything to do with doctrine or anything else. The number one reason is because they didn't feel connected. In other words, they didn't feel like they were planted. Okay? And so this is something that we're talking about at the board right now. We're talking about we need to do better as far as church. You can come and have a great time, and that's great. But it's so much more important to be planted in the church so that when you're sick or when something happens, you know that you're missed. You know that someone will call and say, how's it going? In other words, we are called the called out ones. We are called to exercise our gifts and be a part of one another and being part of the family of God. Now, it's about being plugged in. Plugged into a calling and plugged into a mission. We're planted in the house of God. I want to tell you about two people. And they have great names. Person A and Person B. And you can decide which one you are. Okay? Person A, well, they go to church. Great song service. They're blessed. You know, and maybe they accept the Lord today and, you know, something in the message speaks to them or the prayer or somebody, you know, talked to them out in the lobby and they were just blessed and they say, this is it. This is for me. And they come to church. They come to church. But they don't get planted. And because they don't get planted in time, and I'll tell you what that time limit is, it's usually about a year. And in about a year, you start getting these ideas and these things that going to church isn't really all that it's cracked up to be. And so you end up leaving. They may come back on Easter time or Christmas, but it's not really fulfilling one of the needs. I can tell you my wife and my experience when we became Adventists, when we were baptized into the church, into Christ, into the church. What happened was we belonged to a church that was very active and vibrant and alive. Now, at about about a year, we started thinking, you know, maybe not. But here's the thing. Those people in that church, they loved us like crazy. And when we would miss church, we would get phone calls. And my wife and I would say, man, these people are so friendly. I went, because it was a large church. It was about 1,000 members as well, 900 members at that time. And when we missed, any time we missed, Sabbath afternoon was filled with phone calls. And my wife and I would say, man, they are so friendly, so loving, because it didn't dawn on us. And we thought, how is it that a church of 900 people, that they could miss us? We figured it out later. We were the only white people there. It was a black church, okay? And we were there, and you know, we sat up at the front and all that sort of, and it really amazed us that they missed us. But they were super friendly, and if it wasn't for that church, we may not be here today, because they continually loved us. They invited us out, and they really became a part of our lives. So person A doesn't get planted, and they end up leaving. Person B experiences the very same thing. Great song service, wonderful prayer, hopefully a good message, and maybe somebody at the lobby, when they came in, greeted them in such a way that they really felt cared for and loved. But they come, and they don't just come to church. They come and get planted in the church. And you know what? If you are planted in the church, the chances of leaving are small, because your roots go deep. When you are planted, your roots grow deep. Jeremiah 17, verse 8. They will be like a tree planted by the water that sends out its roots by the stream. It does not fear when heat comes. Its leaves are always green. It has no worries in a year of drought and never fails to bear fruit. When your roots are deep, it makes all the difference, because I will tell you, every single one of us will experience trials. Every single one of us will experience drought. Every single one of us will experience the winds of adversity and the trials and afflictions that come along with life. Every single one of us will go through that. But if you are planted in church, then you are not alone. If your roots grow deep, you are not alone. You know, I read an article this week about the redwoods in California. The redwoods can grow 30 stories high and 3 stories wide. So that's a huge tree. In fact, there's some place in California where they've actually cut it out and you can drive through the tree. I mean, it's a huge tree. And so you ask, when the winds come, they're 30 stories up. When the winds come, the rains go, how do they stand? Well, one thing is that they have roots that will grow 100 to 150 feet down into the ground. So that helps a lot. But there's another thing about these redwoods that they do, which helps them survive. They don't not only have roots that go down, they have roots that will extend 100 or 150 feet out. And when they encounter another redwood, this is all happening underground. When they encounter another redwood, their roots intertwine with the other roots. And so when the winds come, they don't only rely upon themselves and the roots that go down deep. They rely upon the roots of all the other trees and all the other plants that are around them. What am I saying? They have a support system. What am I trying to say? We need each other. We need each other. You can have deep roots with Jesus going all the way down, and that's wonderful. But we need to be like redwoods that have our roots going out this way too. That's what it means to get planted in the house of God. I don't think the devil cares if you come to church. I really don't. I think he really cares if you get planted. But if you come to church, in and out, all that sort of stuff, and never get planted, you're not as well off as if you were planted together. The second thing it does, it produces fruit. It has no worries in a year of drought and never fails to bear fruit. So what fruit is it talking about? Found in Galatians 5. Love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, gentleness, faithfulness, self-control. The love when you're planted with God and with others, the love that you have, the joy that you express is amazing. Absolutely amazing. It's attractive. It's vibrant. It's contagious. The peace that you have when you're going through a storm is very attractive. And your faithfulness builds relationships. Because you're planted. And you're making a difference. I just want you to try this just a little bit. I would like, no matter what stage in life you happen to be or what stage in spiritual growth you happen to be, this week, I want you to start praying for people. Okay? That's part of reaching out. You don't even have to tell them that you're praying. Just pray for them and reach out. Make a difference. You know, it could be that you need to volunteer in a situation in the church here. You know, the church nominating committee, personnel committee, we're going through things and we've run up against a wall. I want to thank all of you that signed your sheets and everything because it's made it so much easier. We were looking for people and we didn't know who you were, you know, but you signed up and you said, I would like to serve in this particular area. And you made it so, so much easier. But I want to say to you, if you work in the kids' church, or in Tiny Tots, or anywhere else, no matter where you decide to settle down, there isn't anything like, say, a single mom, and you're helping their kids, and that little boy or little girl says to you, you know, I don't have a dad. I wish you were my dad. There isn't anything that changes your heart quite like that. You know, in the more mundane, how many of you have missed our fellowship meals? Two. Okay, then we'll move on. I think the fellowship meals are great, to be honest with you. And we cut back for the rest of this year. But I want to bring it back up next year. I really do. I think it's important that we get planted together. And we fellowship together. And that's one of the ways that we can do that. We have three teams. We need a fourth. But as personnel committee, we don't know who you are. We don't know who enjoys cooking. We don't know who the fourth team is. We really don't. And so I would like you to come to me, to write me a note, an email, something like that, saying, I would like to be the fourth team. We'll organize something. We'll just do snacks, but I would like to do that because fellowship is really important. Or maybe for you, it's you're being impressed to give a little extra something, whether it's to Christmas baskets or to church budget or whatever it happens to be, in order to make a difference. The other one that we don't know what to do with, we are trying to find two web reporters. In other words, once or twice a month, you would do an article, whether it's a blog on our webpage or whether it's something advertising. Let's just say the young people do an event, and you know, you take a picture or two, but you write a blog about it, about what went on, and to keep everybody informed, because that's all part of being planted as well. But you know, we've looked at this, and honestly, we don't know who you are. We know you're here. But we don't know who likes writing. We don't know who likes taking pictures. And so we're at a loss. And so we're asking you to help us with that particular issue. Set some roots. Put them in place. And finally, just like the people in our first church, they invited us out to dinner. They invited us out to meals. They invited us out to special events. And they kept us engaged. You inviting other people is so vitally important. I make you a bet that every single one of you, there's a lot that if you looked around, there were people you don't know. And you know, maybe it's somebody that you look at and they're feeling quite alone. But if we're going to be a church that allows people to get planted, then we're going to be a church that started inviting people and started sharing with them that how much they matter, how much they mean to us, and how much they mean to God. You know, do you really think that when you spend more on coffee than you give to the work of God or people in need, that you're really going to become a true disciple? Do you really think if you spend more time on Instagram in a day than you spend serving others in a week, that you're really going to be conformed to the image of Christ? God has so much for you. He wants you to flourish. We don't go to a building. We're planted in the house of God, and we are God's ambassadors to the world. We assemble to go out strengthened, planted in the house of the Lord. Let's pray. Father in heaven, once again, we give you thanks because you are so good. I pray, Lord, that what you want to have accomplished with this message, that it will be accomplished in the hearts and lives of each one of us. And I also pray that as we leave this house of worship, that you will continue to be with us, to light our path, to illuminate our way, and to give us joy, peace, and everything else that you've promised. So, Father, may your blessing be upon us, for we ask it all in the name of Jesus. Amen.